of our regulars for coming today. We're glad you're here for celebrating the birth of Christ, and I'll be talking today about that a little bit in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we love the Lord Jesus. We are glad that we get to serve Him. And the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, all of them are so wonderful and important. And we look for a good day. The kids back there have some special things going on for the kids. They have some special music back there. We're going to have some kids singing on Christmas Eve service from the Children's Church. And they're going to get some presents back there and some nice little booklets and things today. And so it should be a great day all the way around if the Lord speaks to us. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 78. Let's go to 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. See, from the start, they're talking about our sins being washed away. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high shall have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Jesus has come, and he's going to do these things. And John the Baptist came, and then Jesus came, and he was going to come to do a lot of things. He's going to come to save us from our sins, it says, verse 77. Show the mercy of God. It's going to give light to those that sit in darkness. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ, when he comes in your life, he gives light. And you get light in your life. And to that is sit in the darkness of the shadow of death and guide our feet into the way of peace. And then, of course, we come forth with the record of Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. We'll go down and we'll start verse 7. And she brought forth their firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and sent and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these passages. We just read some beautiful verses. It's something we should never get used to. God became man. Emmanuel means God with us. We thank you for sending us a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I pray today that we would understand. I pray today we would get the way of peace. We would understand it. And I pray that your Spirit would speak, Lord. We don't know if everybody here knows you as Savior. I pray today that anyone who doesn't would be saved. And I pray that your word would be clear and that I would speak your word faithfully. And your Spirit would speak now. We ask for your help, your blessing, and your power during this time. And please, Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we gave some reasons there to take people out of darkness into light, and he came to come and and to give us knowledge of salvation so we could have our sins forgiven and all those things. But then he mentions a couple times, as the angels began to pronounce when Jesus comes forth, the shepherds are standing there at this time, and the angels appear, and they say, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so they mentioned this is an opportunity to give glory to God. But it's also an opportunity to show peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Now, the title of the message today is Peace on Earth with a question mark. Peace on Earth. We see in verse 79 of chapter 1, it says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, we saw that it was prophesied when Messiah came, the Savior, which is prophesied to come way back in the Old Testament, and over 100 prophecies specifically about the Messiah who would come, that he would be the Son of God, that he would be God in the flesh. And let me read you some verses, but it also includes some other things in that. And then Isaiah chapter 9, a very clear prophecy about Jesus before he came. Verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Okay, so this son is going to be born, and God's going to become a child. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." Remember, Jesus, the Son, is called the Mighty God. Not a prophet, not a teacher, not a nice guy, not a miracle worker, the Mighty God. "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then it says, "Of the increase of his government of peace and peace there shall be no end." Now, on that verse there, it says, his government and peace. See, Jesus, we find that the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to come at this time. He's going to come, and he's going to, at some point, save his people from their sins, it says. But then it says he's going to set up his government. And his government, it says, will be a government with peace. We find that in many chapters in Isaiah. We find it in Zechariah. We find it talked about a lot in the Bible, that a future government where God sets up a kingdom on earth will be a place of peace. The lion lays down with the lamb. All of the spears and weapons are turned into pruning hooks and things for farming. And he will bring peace to the earth. However, at this time, the peace wasn't there. You find that when Jesus was born, he immediately had a king called King Herod who wanted him dead and killed all the babies in Jesus' hometown. Now, an angel had told Joseph to flee to Egypt, and so they took off and they ended up in Egypt during that time. But there was immediately not peace on earth when Jesus came there. As a matter of fact, Jesus' life had much conflict, and, well, they weren't peaceful to him. They killed him. They crucified him. There wasn't peace on earth. Matter of fact, I don't know if you watch the news, but you'll find out there's still not peace on earth. Not a lot of peace in this world. I heard one time that in the recorded history of mankind, there's been 39 years of peace where there wasn't a recorded conflict going on. That's pretty pathetic. You think somewhere just everybody'd be tired of fighting and there'd just be, you know, 100 years of peace. No, there's been 100-year wars. We don't have peace on earth. We don't have peace in America. We don't have peace around the world. You have to be very smart and very on top of things to know how many conflicts are going on right now. I mean, I could probably, and I'm pretty up on the news, I could probably give you 10, but there's way more than that. And there's not peace on earth. So what were the angels talking about? Why did it say peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Well, first of all, we know that someday Messiah is coming back, Jesus is coming back, and he's gonna destroy the kingdoms of this world, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, and there'll be a kingdom of peace, and there'll be no rebellion, there'll be no devil, there'll be no Satan, there'll be no more war, the Bible says, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow. It's no wonder it's good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. It'll be a good day. That'll be a wonderful day. We want peace. But we don't have the peace that comes on earth. It did not come. Herod tried to kill him in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, talked about that. Matter of fact, Jesus at one point said, "I did not come to bring peace on earth." He said in Luke 12, 51. He said, "You're going to have conflict with your family. You're going to have conflict with your neighbors. People are going to attack you because you follow me and you believe in me." And that's been true. Followers of Christ, they don't always have peace. Some of you, though you are trying to be peaceful and love your family and trying to be kind to them, and I know that we have this in several situations, and you're doing the right thing. You're trying to be kind to people. You're trying to be nice to them. When you decided to follow God, they did not become peaceful with you, but they became combative. And Jesus said, hey, that's going to happen. He told us that many times. He told us in John 16. John 14, he said, if the world hates me, it'll hate you also. Just remember, it hated me before it hated you. He said, they're going to be mad at me because I'm going to reveal their sin and they have no cover for their sin anymore. John 16, he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He says in Matthew 24, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Certainly the Jesus coming to earth did not bring peace to this world. I was reading a very old book. It was a fiction book, and it was this book written in about 1905, and it was just a silly book about a boy going to West Point, and his mom is worried, and this is 1905, understand. His mom in the book said, "I'm very worried about you going to war." And in the book, he said, "You know, Mom, war is not the way of the world anymore." In 1905, what, 1916 World War One started? 1914 World War One started? World War II started in 1939? More people died in the 20th century from war than I believe all the other centuries combined. It's just the world's messed up. And it's not a peaceful world. I thank God Jesus is coming back going to fix it. But why did he say then, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? And why do they say that? Well, he emphasized being peaceful. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And I hope that you're a peacemaker. Do you know, there are conflict makers in the world. And we need some peacemakers to make up for them. You know what you would be good if you could do sometimes? If you would just say, "You know what, I'll pay for it. You guys just stop fighting. You know what, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. You know what, I know." In your mind, you say, "I know that it's their fault. I know they should have done it. But you know what, I want to make peace." When two relatives are fighting, maybe you could find a way to make peace. Now, sometimes they both attack you. I know that. That's just the way the world goes sometimes. But peacemakers trying to make peace. Can I tell you this? If you're a peaceful person and a peacemaker, like Jesus said to be, you will find that there are a few people who will have conflict, but those people who have conflict with you have conflict with lots of people. Okay? But if you have a lot of conflict, a lot of people, you're probably not a peacemaker. Only by pride comes contention, the Bible says. He told us to be peacemakers. Let me read you what extent he said to do this. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," in Matthew 5. But Matthew 5:44, he says this, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise in the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." It says you are going to love your enemies. Go the extra mile. Be a peacemaker, Jesus said. Be kind to everybody. Years ago, we were doing our bus route in our apartments, and we had a family, and I don't even really to this day know why, but they just turned against us. And the parents had never been to our church. The kids had come a couple times on the bus, and they got vicious. Mean. They literally would go talk to somebody about coming to church. They would go behind us and tell them, "Don't go to that church. They're bad people. They do bad things. They're terrible." And they would just make up lies about us every week. They would watch where we went, go behind us, and tell everybody, "They're bad people. Don't go to their church." Now, I'd drive by them every week, and I'd their kids are out playing. I'd always wave to them. I'd kept on being nice to them, kept being kind to them. I'd try to talk to them. The mom wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't look at me like I wasn't there. And they were just mean. I couldn't tell you this. I do not know what we did to cause that. I have no idea. But love your enemies. Do good to them who persecute you. Love them. One day I was there at the apartments and just talking to people, and somebody said, "Did you know so-and-so?" Told me about a tragedy that happened to that family. I mean, a life-threatening tragedy. I went to the house right away, knocked on the door. The mom answered the door. I said, "I heard this happened to your son, and I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do?" And poof, she melted. Do you know she's been coming to church for years? Why? Because we try to be peacemakers. Whole family, by the way. Peacemakers. Jesus told us to be kind to everybody, to love your enemies. So one thing that certainly said peace on earth is he said, "I'm going to make some believers who are going to love everybody, be kind to everybody." I want to say this, we don't just love Christians. We love anybody from any background, any religion, anybody who doesn't agree with us. We love atheists. We love everybody. That's where we Christians are supposed to be peacemakers and be kind to people. What does this mean? Why did Jesus say, the Bible say peace on earth, and then peace didn't come? I want to say Jesus certainly had the will for peace. He wanted peace. He didn't want conflict. And yet, at a certain point, he went into a temple and overturned the tables because they were robbing the temple, robbing God's house, and overthrew the money changers and things like that. See, though you want peace does not mean you can always have peace. First thing I want to say is it was the Lord bringing peace toward men. It was God's overture toward men. Notice it says in that verse, it says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Okay? There is a peace, there is a goodwill that went out that way toward men. That's what God did. God said, me sending my son is me making peace with mankind. It's me trying to send out the olive branch. It's me trying to make peace with everybody. Remember this, you can try for peace, but it does not mean the other side will accept it. God would have saved everybody. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all men come to repentance. There is not a human that God would not like to have peace with, but he sought peace with mankind. He sent his son to take away the enmity, the enemy between him and God, the conflict. He sent his son to take that away, but it does not mean that every person wants to return and have peace. If you've lived very long, you've tried to be nice to somebody and tried to make peace with somebody, and they were have no part of it. And you wondered and kicked yourself, and should I have said it this way? Should I have said it this way? Listen, I've been trying to make peace with people, and usually I have peace with most people, but I want to say, I've realized you're not going to say it right. You're not going to do it right, okay? There are people who attack. There are people who don't want peace. It's very biblical. The Bible tells us that. It's very common. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And if your enemy hunger, feed him. But it says, you know what? You might try, but it's as much as lies in you. There's just so much you can do, and they may not do it. Psalm chapter 1, chapter 120, it's a verse says it this way, and I could read you a lot of Psalms that say this. But Psalm in chapter 120, and verse 7 says it this way. It said, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. That's what it says. I'm trying. So what does it mean? First of all, God was trying to make peace with mankind. But there are Herods and there are Pharisees in this world who will not allow peace, though you try. And you ought to try. And you go the extra mile. And you try, but doesn't mean you can have it. I think in most cases, if you are kind and you keep loving and you do not say, fine then, and blow up anytime and you just keep on being kind, I find most of the time, eventually, people will melt and you can have peace eventually. But it might take years, might take decades with some people. But you ought to try to have peace. But there are some. The Pharisees were going to kill Jesus no matter what he did. Every miracle he did, they turned it around to a bad thing. Somebody's lame, they couldn't walk, he healed them, they could walk. They said, why'd you do that on the Sabbath day? They found fault because they didn't want peace. There's a biblical reason for that. I'm going to tell you why there are people who want conflict, who seem to always have conflict, and that's the way they do it. And then many times they come back and apologize to you when they need something, but they're not really at peace with you. I want to say there's a reason they're like that, and you must be there to help them. James chapter 4 says this, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. What does it say? It says there is a war inside of them. You know why they have so much conflict? Because their soul is full of conflict. There's turmoil in them, and so that turmoil in them causes wars and fightings with other people. So you know a peaceful person inside doesn't want to fight? They have to sometimes. Please don't think I'm saying here you have to be a wallflower that gets stepped over and run over and doesn't stand up for anything. No, no, no. There's a time when you have to stand up and fight. A time when you say no. There's a time when you say we can't do that. There's a time when you say no, we don't do that. There's a time. But I want to say their problem is there is no peace inside. They are at war inside their soul. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. It is because it said peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was God saying, I am trying to bring peace to mankind. I'm trying to save them. I, between me and them, there is a conflict. It's called sin, and it separated me and them, but I want peace, and I want peace with them. And so I am giving my son here to make peace. It's a sacrifice. Number two, why did he say peace on earth and we don't have peace? As a savior, he brought peace between God and man for those who accept it. Boy, there's some good verses on this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the biggest piece about Jesus coming was to bring peace between God and man. Let me illustrate this to you a little bit. Timmy coming up here and Travis coming up here. So, coming up on the platform here, and just face each other here. This is God, this is man, okay? God loves mankind. Problem is man sins, and they turn their back on God. And when man sins, the Bible says, God is too holy as to behold iniquity, that the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you have sin, God turns his back on you, and he's angry. God's angry at your sin. Turn it back. And so God's mad. Now, God's not happy now. God's mad. Now, man is wandering from God. Man is in sin, and he's not turned toward God. Now, a man might say, I'm repentant. I'm sorry. I want to be back to God. And so he turns in repentance, but God is still offended at sin. God is offended at one sin. The wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve sinned one time with the forbidden fruit, and God said, away. You can't be with me. Any sin offends me, and I cannot be with you. So even if man wants to come to God, they are offended. But God loved mankind, and so God said, I will send my son. And then let's pretend that I am Jesus here, and what I did, because I died on the cross, I can go to the Father, and I can turn him towards man, because now they have no sin. I can turn man toward God, and I can bring God and man together, shake hands, and they can have peace. Okay, you can be seated. Jesus brought peace between God and man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man can't bring peace with God. They're sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. All their good deeds, all their prayers, all their giving, it will never bring peace with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus brought peace between God and man. That's why the angels proclaim peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. It says it this way, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished death of his flesh and enmity, and the enmity, even the law of commandments containing the ordinances, for to make in himself twain the new man, so making peace. There it is again. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, the enmity between God and man, he slew on the cross. He brought peace between God and man, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which are nigh. For through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. He came and brought peace between God and man, and that's why he came. There's other verses, many other verses. So you understand, Jesus said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God made overtures. God said, I want peace with mankind. But then God said, I will come and I will make peace between God and man. I will remove. And so today, anybody who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, they now have peace with God. The Lord is no longer offended with them. Their sins are washed away. Heaven is their home. And they are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, it says. Wonderful, wonderful that he made the peace between God and man. Number three, why did they say peace on earth and yet we don't have peace on earth? Well, he brought peace inside believers. Colossians chapter 3, he brought peace inside believers. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. John chapter 14 and verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. Let me read it. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace give I unto you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, let me take it. Let me give you, did I read Colossians 3:15? Yep, let me read Philippians 4:7. Peace inside of us. It says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, it passes all understanding. You don't even know how you can have the peace. You don't know why you're okay. Life's crazy, but you're at peace. And that peace is so powerful. It keeps your heart and it keeps your mind. Why? Because God brought peace inside of believers. I want to say this, the world's still crazy, the world's still chaotic, the world still changes left and right, but your peace should not be affected. The Bible says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, John 16:36, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation. There's going to be storms. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I, in me, you can have peace. Peace in your hearts. A peace that keeps your hearts and minds. It is a crazy out here, but it's calm in here. It's a war-filled world, but there's no war in here. I'm at peace with God. I'm right with God. I'm fine. You know, when people notice when you have peace inside, it's just different. This world is a stressed out world of people full of conflict and worries and they don't know what to do and angry and lashing out all the time. When the peaceful person walks in, when the peace comes, when somebody has the peace of God, it just kind of shows in a world without peace. When somebody's kind and loving and doesn't have to get revenge, it shines out. Years ago, Esther and I were flying a flight to Wisconsin, and our connection flight, we were at the airport, and in the airport, they had a cancellation flight to go to our next stop, and, well, if you ever get in that happens, the airport gate becomes a zoo, and it became a zoo, and everybody gets grumpy, and our flight didn't get canceled, but it was just people everywhere, nowhere to sit, people all trying to get in the flight. They're saying, if you'll give us up your seat, we'll give you this much stuff. And we couldn't. We were going out there. There's some missionaries who just had kids. They just had twins, and there were some health issues, and they had all these other kids, and the husband is away for a while, and so we're going to leave our daughter there to help her out. And we had to get there, so we didn't get our flight. And we didn't have a window seat. And all of that, I wanted the window seat. I wanted my daughter to have a window seat. So I wait in line forever. We're waiting forever anyway. Everything's delayed. Everybody's grumpy. Everybody's glaring at each other. Everybody's mad. Everybody's griping. And so, listen, I've read enough about transportation in previous centuries. No, an airport delay is not the end of the world, okay? But I went up and I was in line, and the person in front of me the person for the airline company was standing there, and this person in front of me was just yelling and screaming, and you got to get me on this flight. I have to be there. I have this coming. I have that coming. You can't do this. I hate this airline. Cussing them out. Give me a first class ticket. I can't believe this. Just being nasty. Everybody was just mean and nasty. And I walk up there, and I was already in line. There's nowhere to sit anyway, so I just stayed in line. Walk up to the guy, and I said, "Hey, you're gonna think I'm awful for asking this, but you got any window seats open?" And I'm just laughing with him. He starts laughing. He says, yeah, in first class. I said, can you give me a first class ticket? And he says, well, let me see how much it is. He says, that's $150. Well, it's like an hour and a half flight. $150. He said, $150. I said, tell you what, for you, I'll do it for $15. And he just starts laughing. And he starts laughing. I said, man, I felt terrible. Like, I said, you know, don't they know your airplane stretcher is broken? And I started joking with a guy, and we just started laughing. And I said, man, why do they take it out on you? It's not like you canceled the flight. He says, you don't understand. He says, so I was joking with the guy, just making him smile, because everybody's so mean to the guy. We go out, we walk out of there. He says, no, and I'm not going to pay $150 for an upgrade to first class. That's for the rich folk. And it's usually more than that. But anyway, so we walk out there, and we're just standing in the big old crowd, and we're just standing there waiting, Esther and I waiting for the flight to load. And all of a sudden, the guy walks up to me, and he walks up, and he just bumps my hand, and he hands me something. And he walks off, and I look down, 2 first class seats. Woo, we were with the rich folk. And he didn't show anybody. Boy, if anybody would have seen what he just did, he didn't show anybody. Gave me first class tickets. We were nerds. We're sitting here taking selfies of us, all these businesses back there going, ordered like 16 champagnes. No, I didn't. But we sat there in first class, you know, just a little peace when everybody else is grumpy and angry. You know, I'm just glad to get there in one piece. Okay, we made it. I know I don't like flight delays, and I got a million things going, and I get, but you know, peace. When I prepare a message on, peace. I told my wife last night, I'm not going to preach on peace anymore because every time I preach these things, I have to practice it all week long. I just want to preach on it. I don't want to do it. It's my job is to preach it. And boy, this week. It was one of those weeks. And I kept thinking, okay, that was a terrible week. And then it continued. And boy, I had one of those weeks. We had a van. We finally got the brakes put on it and just had all kinds of things. The brakes. Finally got this van. This van's been wrong forever, and he's been driving it forever. And then we got it fixed on Tuesday. And praise the Lord, I finally got the van fixed. And I'm driving it on Thursday to church, and it throws the belt, the serpentine belt. I limp it up to church. I get it here. And so I get the mechanic here and I buy a new belt and we look and the pulley is destroyed. So I go over to the parts store, buy a pulley, bring it back. He puts it on there and starts it up and he looks and he says, water pump, is it gone? Wow. So we go, that's okay. You know, it'll be up by Sunday. And well, it turns out I got the water pump, and he just couldn't quite get it done. He didn't have enough time to get the water pump done, so we're down a van. So now we have usually we have a shuttle and 3 vans, okay? One van's broken down, always, been broken down for 2 months. The other van is that one. So now we're down to a van and a shuttle, so we got to combine things. Okay, we'll combine things. Well, we got the shuttle to go pick up. The shuttle is kind of... it's got to be where it is because it fills up on the bus route, and so that's okay. We'll combine the other 2 van routes, and so Travis drives. He has his car, and he's gonna drive up here in the morning and stuff like that. He gets 2 flat tires on the way home, 2 flat tires, not 1, 2. And so last night we got to work all this out, and we got to work out the van rides and combining these things. So Aaron's got to go get Travis, and they got to ride up here and each do their route. There's 2 different routes they got to go to, and one's that direction and one's this direction to pick people up because they're down a van. And oh, it's one of those days. So finally, got everything worked out. I think I have the whole plan. Everything's planned out. Even with just 2 vehicles, we'll make it. Everything's good. We're fine, and I'm great. And I'm up here at church. It's about 10 o'clock at night. My wife called and says, "You got to come home. Becca's got a severe burn in her hand. She had touched a hot glue gun, just took a whole layer off her finger. I can hardly hear her because the baby's screaming." And so off I go home. Well, you go to the emergency rooms on Saturday night at 10:30 at night. You know, and I have something, I have things to do on Saturdays, and I'm getting ready for something Sunday. And so off I go home to go to the emergency room. I love emergency room waiting rooms. And I have 7 kids. I've been to them many times. And off I go to the emergency room, and what can I do? I told my wife, honey, Next week, I'm preaching on how to handle when everything's going so good. And that's my next week's sermon. And so, because I laugh at everything. So we go there, we go to the emergency room, and they said, we can get you a triage, we can get you checked in just a minute here, but it's going to be 2 hours before you see that. This is 10:30 at night. Oh, man, I've got a bunch of things to do still. I mean, I've got a million things to do. Oh, man, I prayed. We got in the car, and before we left, we always pray. We're kind of between hospitals. Lord, what hospital to go to? And so we drove down to the hospital, and we went down there, and then they said, you won't get in for 2 hours. And, of course, baby's hurting a lot. She's crying, you know. And I'm just saying, I don't want to sit here for 2 hours. I'm thinking, should I go to the hospital? So we go into the lady there, and we show her, they check her out and look at all the stuff, and it looks pretty bad. And so we said, well, we need to do this and this. I said, are you guys just gonna put some antibiotic on it and wrap it? And she said, yeah, probably. I said, we don't need to stay, do we? She says, well, I can't say that, you know, all day. We can't say that and this and that. And she says, you know what? And we're just being nice to her and talking to her and joking about what time of night it is and everything else. And she says, you know what? Let me just go get the nurse and just let her look at it and see if she can just treat it in this little cubicle here. Let me tell you, they don't do that. And the nurse comes in and said, listen, I really can't do that. I said, listen, you're off the record. Okay, don't worry, no record here. I said, well, we don't care. You're fine. Just do what you need to do. I didn't even see anything. And they went and put all the stuff on there and put the bandage on there and did everything on there. And we walked out of there in 10 minutes. Again, didn't let anybody see what they did for us because they all be mad at me. But, you know, going through all that and all the chaos that week, you know, I'm still going to heaven. God still loves me. I still have peace with God. You know, I wasn't all riled and angry and, wow, you know, accidents happen and life's chaotic. I know where I'm going and I die. I'm racking up treasures for that and just living for eternity. You know, there's a peace that passes understanding when you just pray about things and leave it in God's hand. But you know, many Christians don't enjoy that peace that God gave. I mean, you're pounding the steering wheel at every red light. You got to go to the DMV. And you got to go get your tabs. And you have to go, and you get angry at every place. And we get angry at people, and everything's not, and we get more stressed out at the holidays. I'm going down to Oregon tomorrow. You ever try to get that many people ready and leave early in the morning? I'm ready. I'm always ready. I can be ready to go anywhere in 5 minutes. But there are certain genders that aren't good at that. Now, I'm not going to say which one. But certain genders are not as good at that. And, you know, I thank God for women. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my mom. But you just learn. People get so stressed out at the holidays and going to the mall. Now, that I can't have peace in a mall. But I mean, we can get so stressed out. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to bring peace between God and man and bring peace into God's heart. Yes, peace on earth. Because there can be millions and, yea, billions of people at peace in their heart and go around seeking to make peace with other people. And a Savior that made peace between you and God. Yeah, someday He'll come back and He'll bring peace on the earth. And not right now He's trying to. He wants peace on earth. He wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to be kind to everybody. He wants peace on earth. But mankind has free will and God doesn't force man to do anything. So man can choose to be knuckleheads. And men could choose to have conflict. And you might run into some over the Christmas holiday. And if you were Santa, you wouldn't give them any presents. I understand that there are people like that out there, okay? However, you're in your sphere with God. You have peace upward, and you can have peace in here. And you can try to have peace out there. See, God brings peace. Peace in our hearts. He wants that. Hebrews, I'm going to read a couple more verses, and we'll finish up. The Lord wants us to have peace. The Lord is for peace. Now, He can't always have it, just like we can't always have it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." You say, well, why do these Christians in history have all these wars? Because they didn't follow the Bible. It's hard to love your neighbors yourself while you're killing them. Okay? And I want to say, He is the God of peace. There is a time when we have to stand up, and there's a time when He cannot allow certain things, but we are seeking peace. And we have the God of peace, who though He has to sometimes punish people, He is a God of peace, and He has peace and goodwill toward man. But there's just people that aren't always allowing it. Ephesians in chapter 2, I think I read this verse earlier, but I want to just look at the wording very carefully. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the wall of partition between us." That's between us and God, He made peace. I want to say our peace, this verse here in Colossians 2 is referring to Jesus. He is our peace. Our peace is not everything going right. Well, as soon as everything gets settled, you haven't been very observant in life, have you? Well, if I just did the right thing, I wouldn't have all these troubles. Sometimes, yes, your bad actions bring your troubles. You reap what you sow. Can I tell you, this week, my troubles weren't for bad actions. Part of life, I'm in a sin-cursed world. The world is messed up. I'll be peaceful as soon as I get all my bills caught up and get some money and get a good job. If you're not peaceful, listen, you think every rich person is peaceful? So none of those rich people in Hollywood ever kill themselves, right? Okay, who's the last one? Robin Williams? Or has there been some since then, maybe? I don't know. They do it all the time. They're all on all kinds of things to try to, because they're not peaceful inside. Money won't give you peace. Fame won't give you peace. Getting the right relationships and your right marriage. Listen, oh yeah, everybody married has peace. As soon as this happens, I'll have peace. No, no. You will have peace in the trials of life because God is your God of peace. Or you won't have peace. And without Jesus Christ, you will not have peace. He is our peace. Jesus said, "My peace give I unto you." You will have no peace without the Lord. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to save you so you can have peace with God. And I want to say, when you and God are right and close and forgiven and you're right with the Lord, you have peace in your heart. Everything's going to be okay because I know where I'm going. I know God's with me. I know God's going to work all things together. It's okay. Now, you don't have the answers to everything. And not always happy about what happens, but peace overrides the emotions of life. I didn't like my daughter got her finger burned last night. I still got to bed, I don't know, 2 by the time everything was done. But you know what? Though I'm not happy with something, so I didn't wish something happened. Oh, by the way, I forgot, my car broke down this week too. My car's still not fixed. I haven't had time to fix it. I won't get it fixed until after Christmas. I ran out of duct tape. By the way, I threw my serpentine belt just like that thing threw its serpentine belt. And you know what? I still got one vehicle. That's why I have 2. One's always running. So you know why? You got to have peace in a crazy world. You can have a new car and your car runs great. And you're still a turmoil inside. Religion won't give you peace. He is our peace. Your good deeds won't give you peace. You can't get to God by your good deeds. Jesus died on the cross because we can't. And He rose again from the dead to prove that He was God's Son and become our peace. How about you? Peace on earth when this child was born. Goodwill toward men. The Lord is for you. He can't guarantee no more troubles. What He can do is He can give you peace in your heart and peace with Him. And you can have peace inside of you. Peace. Calm. Peace on earth, yeah. But it's inside. Someday it'll be on earth. Right? Not yet. Hadn't happened yet. Jesus got to come back, fix the world, and it'll happen. It's not going to be pretty. It'll be a big mess, but then he'll fix it, and it'll be fine. But right now, the peace is inside, and the peace is upward toward God. And then you making efforts to have peace toward man. There is peace. It's from God. And you can have it through Jesus Christ, accepting him as Savior, and then removing any sin between just confessing and being right with him and serving him. And then you're in his hands. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you that Jesus came. This baby's lying in the manger there, and the angels are singing over him. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Help us, Lord, to have peace. Peace with you, first of all, through being saved, through accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and being born again and having our sins forgiven. But secondly, Lord, help us have peace in our hearts through prayer, it says, gives the peace that passes understanding, through being close to you. Lord, I pray that anybody here who's not peaceful today would get peace in their heart and soul and mind. I pray we'd leave today peaceful people. Because when we're peaceful, we can now go out to people who aren't peaceful and be peaceful to them and love our enemies. We can't do that till we get peace. Thank you for the word that teaches us these things, Lord. We love you. Thank you for Jesus coming to give us peace and bring peace in our hearts and between you and us. Thank you for the word that teaches us these things. We give you the glory for being so good. Lord, I don't always do it right, and I don't always have peace like I should, but thank you. It certainly is a million times better than before I had you, Father. Help us to do so. And may anybody who doesn't know you as Savior be saved today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to just ask you today, my pianist is going to